We're going to hear the testimonies of our brother, Alex, and then Michelle, then Nicole, and Hannah. So right after one is done, the next can come right back up, stand up here and introduce yourself, and then share.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Alex Gershenko, and I'm an immigrant from Ukraine. I've arrived here back in 97 and lived, a normal life, 15 years of age when I arrived here. I went to high school, finished that, and began to work for a company called American Construction. And time has went on where I've accumulated money, lived for myself, enjoyed friends, enjoyed frivolous lifestyle, abuse of substances, etc. As time went on, there was multiple people that were in my life, females, etc., that with whom I've lingered for a while and then passed on. In other words, typical worldly life. And at some point, I remember closing to year 2008, when I was with a particular person, almost about to get married in order to finally become legalized in this country, etc. And it seemed there was a connection between us in some way. And this particular night of Thanksgiving, I've had a terrible car accident. By grace of God, I've lived. Apparently, when I collided with people, I've hurt four people, actually. There was a husband and wife and two kids in the back. By the grace of God, I haven't killed anybody because it was on a highway. We collided together. I came out in Jersey City on the wrong side of the road, and our vehicles had collided late at night. I was apparently paying attention to a cell phone, answering my girlfriend at the time as to when I'm going to be getting back to the place where we were spending our Thanksgiving together. So anyhow, the crash happens. I wind up in a hospital. I don't remember any of it. Doctors basically perform operation on me, claiming that this kid is going to live or going to die. We did everything we could. Parents were devastated. Girlfriend at the time also devastated. By the grace of God, somehow I lived and I came out of it. But as the time progressed, somehow the pathways of my life and the person with whom I was at that time departed. And slowly things began to crumble down. Stuff with my work and stuff with, I guess, primarily with my work and my personal relationship. So anyhow, all of a sudden, this one particular day, something I've never felt before, a burden for my sins came upon me. And like this grief have come over my heart for things that I have truly sinned against God. Something I've never felt in my life. I've done all the wrong things to my family and my friends and didn't care about any of it. But all of a sudden, this has changed. And I would begin to cry out before God because I saw myself as a sinner deserving hell, something I never really thought about nor cared about. And somehow, by the grace of God, as this was happening, as I was pouring out my heart before the Lord, and I was in the backyard of my house, well, the home we were living at, and an amazing thing was happening, which was kind of odd to me, because as I was pouring out my soul before the Lord, and I was pleading for Him, I knew that I deserved nothing. I wanted to simply, I'm thinking, Lord, I know You can do all things. You can literally take me and just eliminate the soul like this. This body, I think, is about the same age where Christ has died. So why don't You do this as far as eliminate me and place Christ inside of me and let Him live this life, because I know I'm unworthy and I don't deserve anything from You. So this is like the one thing that I'm asking from You. But anyhow, doing all of this as I'm pleading with God, whom I really never had any relationship with. I come from Eastern Orthodox religion where we only come to church maybe once a year for Easter and what have you. So the only reason when I went to the Lord, or to God rather, as I knew Him then, as just someone whom I asked for some kind of grace or help with something, nothing really else. Never really cared for any relationship with Him at all. And so as I was pouring out my heart before the Lord about all of this, about my heart's grieving my grandmother, my mother, the multiple relationships that I've had, that I haven't loved those people truly as I should, etc., I've noticed that there was no rain up above me, and there was raining all the way around me, but it wasn't up above me, and somehow it seemed kind of odd to me, so I kind of brushed it off, kind of moved on. Anyhow, so as time progressed, I came, because of the people whom I collided with, we had a criminal court case going on, because it was under the influence at that night, and the court has went on for quite a few years, and, well, not quite a few years, for about a year and a half, I apologize, and I finally become convicted, and convicted of, I think, 4 years, I think, again, four flat, to serve in a correctional facility. But prior to that, right before that happened, as I said, I was pouring out my heart before the Lord. And something has happened that particular night when I was pouring out my heart, because everything else seemed to be a little bit different. As the world seemed different, the birds seemed different, I started to pay attention to things. And all of a sudden, even then, I somehow knew that all this would turn around and somehow I would win this case with my attorney. As that progressed for a little while, our case, we're going back to Jersey City Court, Hudson County Court, rather, back and forth for a little while. Every so many months, and so I was almost confident that we would win. And at the end, there were certain paperwork that was submitted by my girlfriend at the time, who stated that I'd taken her car without her consent, and thus I would be made a criminal, so I become sentenced. And as I went into jail, they first apprehended me. They took me into a holding facility in this Hudson County jail. And Lord, I thought my world was done with. I never expected this. My attorney has told me that there's no jail for me at all. Don't worry. If anything, some kind of probation time will happen. You didn't even hear a sign of paperwork stating that we'll reappeal this case and I'll get you a job as soon as I can. Fine, we did all that. And all of a sudden, my attorney disappears. My parents, my mother cannot find him anywhere. I'm stuck in jail cell. And all of a sudden, this man comes in into the cell, who's about 6'8", maybe, almost, it looked to me like 8 feet tall. This giant of a man comes in, black and African-American guy, with his long dress, and I'm thinking, oh, look, just the things that I've seen in the movies, just what I thought, you know. Like some of these awful, most awful situations, here it is, I'm like, I'm done, my life is over. But the grace of God, this man was the most amazing, humble soul I've ever met in my life. He was a man who actually brought me breakfast that morning, and he introduced himself, and we actually became kind of an acquaintance friend, so to speak, for a little while that we were there. So the God's hand of grace was right there and then, drawing me away from the world, from all those pollutions of it, as I was mixed into drunkenness, etc. And so he brings me into the jail cell. And now in the midst of all of this, I come to learn of someone else who... Because now I have to serve a long sentence. I have to go to state prison somewhere. So I was seeking some kind of a guidance as far as where to go. So one of the persons told me about this one particular place in Southern State Correctional Facility, which supposedly was really open. You can do pretty much whatever you want. So anyhow, I ended up getting there. And once again, by the grace of God, he placed me in places where he guided his own people towards my path, who was prompting me to come to a church, to come to the Bible study classes. And amen. And this Southern State Correctional Facility is the only facility that I know of that has Bible study classes during the whole week. I mean, this is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and obviously Sunday worship church. So he was teaching me, but he was placing all kinds of people in my life to lead me in the ways of Christ. One of the brothers who was in my wing led me into a prayer meeting on Wednesdays, which usually were performed. And meanwhile, Chaplain Crossan, who was in charge of this place, was a great mentor of mine. He introduced me to much of Reformed theology, of which I knew nothing about. I knew nothing really of God when I originally came to prison. I wanted to come to know this God, because first of all, I was coming from Eastern Orthodox background. Now, there's Roman Catholicism, there's Islam, there's Jehovah's Witnesses, all these things coming at me, all these religions, and I'm trying to just decipher which is right, which is wrong. I mean, they cannot all be right. And so I kept on crying out to the Lord to help me to understand, to know Him. All of a sudden, like this desire to know Him was born within me, and He began slowly but surely through various people, through Chaplain Crossan, and through other brothers, Christian brothers, who began to introduce me to God. And as I, each and every time I went to the library, I asked the Lord, you know, to help me to get a book that he would have me read in order to learn who he was. And so he did. First of all, I've got this one particular book, and then along with it, I got the Gideon's Bible. And so through reading, I figured from the beginning, I'll begin to read, right? And so I went through the Genesis, and the one thing that stood out was really just the Ark of the Covenant with Noah, when the Lord has promised that there will be no more floods. Through reading extensive chapters, this is the only thing that stood out to me then. Anyhow, and so I began to seek him more and more, and Muslims were coming at me, and they were persuading me that Christ really was one of the prophets, and Jehovah's claiming that he was obviously one of the angels, and he's not God, and all this. So I'm crying to the Lord. I'm praying to him, Lord, if you are who you are, because I cannot discern this. I can't understand this. There's too much at me coming, and each and every one of them sounds legit, and I have no background in this, and I'm trying to learn it with the Word of God. But nevertheless, even through prayers, through certain feasts that he would respond, and through certain dreams that he would answer me, And it was amazing how through all of this, he kept me through. He did not let me waver to the left or to the right. Because I know brothers who were apparently Christian and then turned to be Muslims, numerous of them. And by the grace of God, I praise him that he has kept me faithful for that. And he has led me through all of this. Years gone by, I've gone out from prison. I finished my sentence, and I finally came to visit my parents in Florida. And I came, after a little while, up here, and I was looking for a church. Chaplain Carlson was calling me constantly. He was asking, did you find a new church yet? Or did you find a church where to worship? I says, not really, Lord. I mean, pastor, or chaplain, rather. I'm still kind of looking, but I was kind of glancing around, but nothing was drawing me to the heart. So I kept on praying to the Lord to place someone in my life upon my path that I would, wherever you want me to serve, Lord, lead me there. Lead that people upon my path so that they would lead me to the place where you would have me. And so one faithful night, I was walking from CVS store, and this woman, Carmen Cardenas, she was walking by, and she was kind of limping, and walking hardly and carrying her bag. So anyhow, I introduced myself, and I wanted to help her, and we ended up talking for hours into late night on the corner of the street. She was describing to me how she knew the Lord. Somehow, the conversation just led to the Lord. And we began to describe our walks with him. And so I asked her a few days later as far as whether she was in any church or she knew of any church where she would go to. Because I figured she sounds like she's sound. And I would like to join the church where she is at. So she called and she had told me about Karen, that Karen was coming to this particular church up in Wayne. And she would lead us and bring us here. And said, you know, if you like, you can stay. I'll introduce you to the pastor, Joe. She says, I know him very well. And you can, you know, take it from there. And so we did. We came first time here, and I remember some of the hymn songs that we were singing here touched my heart because I remember them from the prison when I was there as we were congregate there, and certain songs just got lodged in my heart. And that, even prior to coming here, I prayed, Lord, you know, show me if this is the spot. Show me if this is the place because I want to serve you. I want to pour out my life for you, but you've got to give me some sort of pointers here. I don't know where to be. And so he did through these certain hymns, and his brothers were so loving, and Brother Rob was so kind to me, and you introduced me to Brother Merrick. He came out and he met me outside, and all of them encouraged me, and numerous other brothers just kind of hugged me and, you know, told me how they loved me with the love of Christ, and just this warmth, it was just so receptive, it was so good. I've never been in churches like such as this. I don't know much about churches, really. But I praise the Lord how he has led me here, and I thank him for all you dear souls that as faithful as all of you are, and we all struggle and walk through this path, and how often do the doubts assail and the question of our salvation at times, the fiery darts of the wicked one, how they come at us and tend us to lead us astray. Loved ones, I thank you for you being a holy body of Christ, that you are so careful for one another, you so caring for one another, you supply each other's needs, and I've never seen this. I'm thankful that you are the way you are, and I praise God that he has moved your hearts and changed you, and I thank you for all your prayers. I thank you for all your goodness. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you all the days of your lives, and may he continually sanctify your hearts to himself. I love you, and I pray that I may serve you as well as much as I can to the uttermost. Thank you.
Hi. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Michelle Sandella. I grew up in a small town in Maywood, New Jersey, and I've attended Hawthorne Gospel Church for most of my life. Growing up in a Christian home, I was always taught that I needed a Savior, but I never really felt the need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in my life. I was 10, but just going through life as a stubborn little kid. Life was always fairly smooth, and I felt like I could handle pretty much everything on my own. Up until summer 2009, when I was 14 years old, during that time, my dad's 7-year battle with cancer took a turn for the worse. When his body stopped responding to the chemotherapy, I felt helpless and realized I couldn't handle the situation on my own. I would lay in bed every night crying out to God and asking him why he would do this to our family, and why he couldn't just make a miracle happen and bring my dad back home from the hospital safe and healthy again. A couple months passed, and early in October 2009, my dad was taken home to be with his Heavenly Father. As a high school freshman, this was a very difficult time and one of the hardest things that I had been through up until that moment. But I knew that God had a plan for my life. And although this was a very difficult time, I needed to realize that I needed a Savior. And as tragic as this moment was, I praise God that because of this perfect plan, I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. Although I point to that summer as when I was saved, I still struggled for many years with temptations of self-image, stubbornness, and self-worth. With this attitude, along with pride and vanity, led me into a bulimic lifestyle which drained my energy and left me moody and depressed all the time. Although all I wanted was control over my own life and an escape from the heartache and pressures around me, and that seemed like the easiest way to get there. Over the next 4 years of high school, my Christian walk was very stagnant and comfortable. I was not willing to step outside my comfort zone and draw closer to Christ. While I recognized that I needed a stronger relationship with Jesus, I wasn't willing to take those steps that I needed to. I wasn't motivated to look for a new church or dig deeper in my Bible reading. When I was first introduced to Bread of Life in 2013, I began to realize how important it was for sound Bible teaching and personal spiritual growth. Through encouraging relationships at Bread of Life, the last 3 years of my Christian walk have been full of new growth, increased commitment to the Lord, and a strong desire to follow the will of God for my life, no matter what the cost. My desire is to continue to grow and mature in my faith more and more each day as I continue to serve God in all that I do. For that reason, I'm excited to be baptized here today and tell the world who I am in Christ.
Amen.
If any of you have any questions regarding my testimony any further, I'd be happy to speak with you afterwards. Thank you.
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm very, very nervous, but really excited too. So, the beginning of my story started as when I was a kid, and I grew up going to Catholic church every Sunday. My dad wanted my brother and I to get our feet wet in the concept of religion, and so we would go every Sunday, but in the end of every service, he would say, you know, I just want you to see what, like, one religion is like, and if you grow up to decide to be something else or believe in something else, it's fine by me, which is ironic because he doesn't like me being a Christian, but okay. So, since I went to church as a child, I knew about God, but I didn't know him for myself, and I was always scared of reading the Bible because it was always so big and the font was always so small and it was intimidating. So I never felt interested in picking it up and reading it for myself. And when I look back on everything that has happened until now, I can't believe how much God has protected me and saved me from so much that that could have caused my life to be so much different than it is now. I didn't grow up in a very good environment at home. My family, they fight a lot. My brother and I were very physical and verbally abused as kids, and nobody really showed affection, nobody really showed any love, and so I didn't even, from my parents, didn't know much about how much I was loved, and that, you know, isn't good for your self-esteem and for your hope and for your being. And so I, with all the problems I had at home, with my family, my brother, he went down a really bad path as well, and he started to do drugs and drink alcohol, and that led to a lot of problems, to police being showing up at my house with him, or him getting arrested, or him we running away from home, and we wouldn't know where he was for like a week or two. And I was sometimes jealous because he was getting so much attention, even though he was rebelling so badly. But I thank God for that, because through what he did, I was able to see all the things that he did cause to my family. And I was like, okay, no drugs, no drinking, because I saw how that harmed my parents and me. And it got so bad to one point that my parents had to send him away to Brazil to live with a strict uncle of mine. And that was like the day before I started high school, and I needed him, but he got himself into trouble. So I had my own sort of rebellion. I didn't really want to hurt people, so I ended up hurting myself. I was diagnosed with anxiety and clinical depression, which led me to hurting my own self, self-harm, and I was very suicidal. I had a lot of suicidal thoughts, and there was one time where I tried. And I didn't like myself, I didn't like anyone, I didn't like the world. I was so angry all the time, I was always shut out from everyone, and I was just in such a dark place that I felt I didn't need to be in the world, that no one would care, that maybe it would be I would be a less burden to people, or, you know, who wants my sadness? So I wanted to die. And when I was in the middle of going along with that, I heard a voice in my head say, don't do it. That our story isn't over yet, and I'm not done with you. And that is what gave me hope to keep going, despite the fact that I felt like I was so hopeless and lost and worthless. And I continued to live in depression, but I had that hope. There was nothing that led me to be so consumed by darkness that would lead me to want to die. But I was still really sad. I still had problems at home, still do have problems at home. And so my like refuge, since I didn't have Christ, was music. And I'm a very musical person. So I would always go to concerts, so that's like my favorite place to go. It was where I would go to like have fun and feel joy, despite like all the bad stuff that was happening at home. And that was my life. I was obsessed with bands. I was obsessed with everyone I listened to. That I would buy all the CDs, I would buy all the T-shirts, I would buy all the stuff. And so I was very obsessed with it. So it was difficult later on to give that up, but I'll get there. So my brother was sent away to Brazil, and he started to go to church while he was there. So that led to my mom going to church, and that led to me going to church with her, because I didn't want to stay home with my dad. And I met people there, the youth. And it's funny, because I was so consumed by darkness that when I first met them, I was like, these people, they're so fake. Like, it's not possible that people can be this nice. And I can't believe that I thought that of Christ's light in them. And so I started going to church with my mom and started hanging out with the youth there. And one day they invited me to go to a concert. And it was like a worship concert. And I was like, no way, I'm not going. I don't know who these people are. I don't know the words. I don't know any of the songs. It's not going to be fun. And like in my experience, I know what you need to be able to have fun at a concert. And you got to know the words or else you're just standing there and it's not fun. So I was like, no, I'm not going to go. You guys can go. No problem. Thank you. Somehow, not somehow with God, but I ended up there. I don't even remember how that happened. But I remember going. And when I get there, I see this huge screen, like, in the back for the lyrics and everything. And I was like, okay. And then I ended up standing in a really good place to see the words, especially since I'm very short. I was like, okay, this probably will be fun, I guess. And pretty much by the end of the concert, I had mascara all over my face. I was overwhelmed with joy, and I was overwhelmed with joy in being in that room full and seeing the people seeking God and praising Him in the way that they did, and I was filled with joy because God met me, Christ met me where I was, and He showed me how worthless I am if I'm not with Him, and how I needed Him. And through the songs, which I thank God so much that that was my experience with Him, because I loved music so much, and He spoke to me through music, and so appreciated that a lot from His part. But basically, I felt more joy being there in that room, where I didn't want to be because I didn't know the words or anything, than I had ever felt in any of the concerts I had ever been to combined. And that said a lot to me. So I was like, wow, what have I been missing out on? Because this was really fun. I've never felt this way before. And I just continued to be so filled with joy after that. So I downloaded some songs that I liked from the show, and Monday I was in school during like a free period, and I was like shuffling through my songs, and I hadn't really dedicated myself to Christ yet because I was feeling so held back by my life that I was living, and you know, I had all the CDs, I had all the merchandise, I didn't want to cut ties with who I was, and so I was shuffling through the songs, and I couldn't land on anything. And same day, all of a sudden, I land on a song that I heard from the concert, and that song was what stuck with me. And from then on, I realized that I didn't want to listen to music if it wasn't giving God praise. And I realized that I didn't want to start my journey with Jesus if I couldn't let go of my past. And in that moment, I really wanted to let go. And I gave all that stuff that I owned, like right when I got home, I just put it all in a pile and just got rid of it. And all that stuff that attached me to the world of secular music, it felt so great to let go of. And deleted all the songs from my phone. I even had to break off a friendship with someone I had because the only thing that tied us together was the music that we listened to, and that wasn't easy. But when I knew I wanted to take up my own cross and follow Jesus, giving up those things didn't burden me. It actually felt like a burden was taken off from me. I felt tied down to those things, enslaved to it. When I realized that that was what was happening, I was like, no, I'm choosing Jesus. And when I chose Jesus, I felt so free. And from then on, I started to dedicate my life more and more to God. And it came to a point where in my past, I was the girl who never smiled. People actually had to like force me to smile, pushing my face up because I did not like smiling. I was always stuck in my room. I never liked speaking to anyone. And all of a sudden, I was this person so full of joy and confidence in Christ that I was always smiling and I was always wanting to talk to people, that some of my family members who knew me from then and know me now, they're like, what happened to you? Like, I want whatever you're having because this is so different. You used to be so sad and now you look amazing. Like, you're always smiling and I can just see that you're so happy now. What happened? And I thank God for those moments because they made me realize how much I really enjoyed my my new identity in Christ and how much I needed Him. And not only in those moments did I get the chance to talk to people about how Christ can bring new life, even to the worst sinners, God was always reminding me of how much of a sinner I was by reminding me all the time of my past. And I was constantly being reminded of how merciful and wonderful He is to have chosen me to live a new life in Christ. And when I was living in that time in the past with depression, wanting to commit suicide, I was always wondering, like, because I knew I believed in God, but like I didn't really know anything about Him, so I was kind of like, why is this happening? Why do I feel this way? Why would you let people feel this way? And why would you let things like this happen in my family? Why are you letting my brother do all these things? Can you not? I realize now why He let all that happen. And He took my pain and my doubt and discouragement and transformed it into a story of victory in His name. And I couldn't thank Him anymore for that. So that's pretty much it. So, yeah.
Obviously, I haven't had a lot of life to live yet, so my story is a little shorter. But as most of you probably know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I've gone to a solid Christian church nearly every Sunday of my life, from like 2 weeks after I was born, something like that. From a very young age, I knew the gospel, but even though I knew and believed the truth, I wasn't truly saved till later. Growing up, I knew how to walk the walk and talk the talk, as they say, and when asked if I was saved, I would say I didn't know, even though I did know deep down that I wasn't. I would always pray that God would save me from my sin, but it never worked, and that was my excuse. My heart wasn't right with the Lord, and I wasn't ready to leave my sin, even though I knew I needed to, even though I wanted to be saved. So I preferred to just ignore the issue. Thankfully, God didn't leave me in that. Around when I was 14, I think, God used several things to turn me to Him. One was a book that my mom and little brother and I were going through called Changed Into His Image. Another was God answering several prayers, which made me certain that He is real and powerful and loving. Another was just noticing more and more the difference between God's people and the world. I saw God's work in those around me, and how beautiful He was, and I saw how ugly the world is, and the sin in my own heart really was. I also saw how the world can give no satisfaction or contentment, and only a temporal happiness that is exchanged for guilt later. But true contentment and satisfaction and lasting joy are only found in Christ. There is no hope apart from Him. My salvation was not as specific point in time that I can remember per se, but a gradual realization of the urgency of my salvation and where I was headed and the ugliness of my sin versus how beautiful God is, which made me turn to Christ for salvation. When I truly realized the forgiveness of my sins in Jesus Christ, my heart was overwhelmed. Though I had prayed many times for Christ to save me, but without any repentance or resulting heart change, this time was the real deal, because I repented of my sin and my heart was turned to God, and because I began to desire Him above all else. I began to love being with God's people, and I don't fit in with the world anymore. I started actually wanting to respect my parents, not just doing it because I had to. There had been a lot of ups and downs in my walk with the Lord, but I strive to glorify Christ and deny myself and find joy and satisfaction and contentment in Him. I want to love Christ and hate sin more and more. God is so good, and His love is so great for undeserving sinners like you and me. There are so many verses that I would choose to close with, but I'll just stick to a couple. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness."
Alex?
Yes.
Do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes, I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that it is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
Yes, I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow Him all the days as part of His church?
By His mercy and by His grace, I shall.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness to our brother Alex. We thank You, Father, how You have shown Yourself to be real to him and taking him and carrying him through the stages of his life, Lord God, for preserving his life unto this day. We thank You, O God, that You did not leave him dead in trespasses and sins, but have resurrected him in Christ. We thank You for the faith that You've given him. We thank You, O God, for the spirit of service and love that You have granted unto him, that You have enlarged his heart, that You've taken out a heart of stone and truly put in a heart of flesh that is manifested in love for You and love for others. We thank You for the work of Christ and the gospel that we have seen evident in our brother's life. And Father, it is our joy and our blessing to witness his baptism. May You be greatly glorified in it, and as he lives the risen life in Christ, may You be greatly glorified through him as You fulfill Your will for his life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Alex, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Try to help me here.
Let's pray for Michelle. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace in our sister Michelle's life. We thank You, O God, how You have been a father to her, Lord. Even though in Your mysterious providence You have taken her earthly father early in life, we thank You, O God, that You have been faithful to her, to be a father to her. We thank You, Father, for the manner in which You have saved her, preserved her, kept her unto this day. We're thankful, Father, for the amazing grace that you have brought to her life through her family, through those around her, Lord. We thank you for the way and evidence that we've seen of growth in her life, as demonstrated by her love for you and her love for others. We thank you, Father, that we can get to know her better and see the life of Christ, the risen life of Christ lived in and through her. Mm-hmm. We would ask you, Father, that as she goes into these waters and comes out as that symbol of resurrected life, that, Father, she would walk in a manner worthy of Christ, walk a resurrected life. Mm-hmm. Father, help her, strengthen her. We pray, Father, that through every trial and temptation, through every snare that the enemy would seek to disrupt her, Father, that she would find you to be her strength and her shield. We ask you, O God, that you would greatly bless her and pour out your Spirit upon her and use her, Father, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Michelle, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that it is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Yes, I will.
Amen. Michelle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
Pray for Nicole. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of Nicole. We thank you, Lord, that your hand has been evident upon her life and that you have turned her sorrow into joy. Amen. Father, we pray that she would always find her joy in Christ. Whenever the enemy tries to attack, may she remember not only what you've done, but what you've done even today. As she looks to her baptism, symbolizing that she is dead to depression, she is dead to anxiety, she's alive in hope and joy. And though she may stumble, though she may fall, she has an advocate with the Father.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you would use her testimony to save her family, save her loved ones, and may she walk in step with Christ all the days of her life. Mm-hmm. For the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Nicole, you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that it is by God's grace alone that you are saved? Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Nicole, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Day that every father longs for.
Amen.
John says that I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. And this is the day that we long for by God's grace, and to see God by his grace claiming another one for himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're going to, I want to encourage you, brothers, fathers, mothers, keep up the good work. By God's grace, one day you'll have this joy. So let's commit Hannah to the Lord. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord. You are a gracious and a merciful God, that you work through your word in families, Lord, that you call children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren unto yourself, that the name of the Lord would be praised for many generations to come. And I thank you for your work in the life of Hannah, O God, for saving her by your grace and causing her to see that there's greater joys in Christ than this world can ever offer. And, O Lord, thank you for making Christ precious to her. And, O Lord, by your grace, may she continue every day of her life to live for your glory, and that she may make you known to others, and she might exalt your name, O God. Oh, Father, may you preserve her from the world and the love of this world and the things that would allure her, that she would continue to reflect back on her baptism, that she was dead to this world, that this world has nothing over her, that she's been freed from the love of this world, that she has now the power that is within her, the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to keep and to guide her and to protect her, O Lord, and that you would continue to show Christ to be precious to her. Thank you for the joy that you've given this dad, Lord. And I know there's greater joy in heaven now, Lord, over this sinner that has repented.
Yes.
We praise your name, and may you be glorified in her life. Amen.
Amen.
Hannah, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
I will.
Amen. Based on your testimony, we baptize you.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.